Welcome to another episode of Why Your Story Podcast. I am your host, Travis.
I am your host, Mary Jo.
And together we are
Why Your Story.
I've got different music playing today.
You do. And I love this song. Ready.
Who sings it?
The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Good job. So, I did this different today because of our topic today.
Awesome. It's a great song.
It is a great song, and worthy of our topic today that we're going to be discussing. But first, how you doing?
Well, I just drove from the dentist to here.
Your cheek looks a little swollen.
Oh, my gosh. Not just that cheek. Boy, I'm telling you. It was 2 hours of getting that tooth out. It kept breaking, and he had to keep going down in the root, and he had to keep going down in the root.
Are you kidding me?
No, it was horrible. And he's like, out of 3,000 people, this is the worst one I pulled. I'm like, thanks, you know? And he's like, anyway, next time, I'm gonna be put under laughing gas. Whatever he does, I'm not doing the shots. Because he had to keep giving me shots.
What, did you know you were going in to get a tooth pulled?
Yes. But well,
why didn't you just tell him to go, hey, I need to go down?
Well, I don't know. Because I'm a tough broad. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a truff.
You're a truff broad.
And
with
I will
a
have a
big,
lisp.
Fat cheek.
Yes. So today I sound like Drew Barrymore. She has a lisp too. So that's how I'm doing. And I, yeah. What about you?
Well, it's springtime in Star Valley,
marvelous.
Going 100 miles an hour, wide open.
Great.
Yep.
Great.
And we're spraying and sunshining and.
Do you have one of those things that we can blow up a weasel?
No,
okay.
I don't blow things up.
Well, we're going to.
There are several guys in the valley that have them, though.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty.
But they're
cool.
Not weasels. You're probably talking ground prairie dogs. Or groundhog?
I don't know. They turn white in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
And then they...
You have one, huh?
Yeah. Well, I could have a family. Who knows? Wow. They're by my greenhouse, and there's just this, you know, along with all the obnoxious voles.
There's a name for them. I'm trying to remember.
I know.
I don't think
it's not an egret, is it? Isn't an egret a...
Isn't that a bird?
Oh.
That's what I thought. I'm pretty sure it's not a bird that's burying under the ground, but...
Okay.
Anyway.
Whatever it is.
Maybe...
Somebody call in and let us know, because we just don't know.
Maybe things in Fairview are different, but...
they are a little different in Fairview.
Yeah.
How's it happening up in your neck of the woods? How's the family?
Yeah, we're doing good. Everybody's healthy and well, and life's good. Sunshine, our vitamin D levels are increasing, so...
For those of you that can't see Travis, which is all of you that are listening, he looks terrific. He had a pretty bad health scare, and he's glowing, and I've never seen you glow, really.
Well, it's because I cheated and had sugar about 30 minutes ago.
That's it.
It worked.
What about caffeine?
Oh, yeah. I had my caffeine today.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Okay.
I had a diet Dr. Pepper earlier, and my life is good.
I can't drink. I tried to drink, and it came out of my mouth and drooled down
my
neck.
I would not recommend drinking anything, because I think you're drinking too much of the happy juice.
So. Maybe a wee bit, Dad. Just a wee bit.
Hey, thanks to our sponsors, Star Valley Health. Appreciate all you guys do for us.
We sure do. You have a great facility and great doctors and nurses and... all the rest of the staff there.
Eco Life, thank you for all your
thank
support.
Thank you, Duke.
SVI Media,
yes,
appreciate you guys.
Couldn't do it without
Duke,
them.
Dal, and Dan.
The 3Ds.
Couldn't do it without you guys. So
we're very, very grateful.
But anyway, along with our intro music today on Fishing in the Dark, we've got a special guest in-house with us today.
Yes, we do.
Who is, from what I understand, one of the greatest fishermen to ever grace...
The land. I agree.
The landscape. So, MJ, why don't you introduce our guest today?
All right. We have Paul Staffer.
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 Oh, Staffer, Staffer. We have Paul. And and I work with him in the temple, and he is just has a great spirit and a young heart. And I'm very excited to talk about fishing because... I love fishing. You love fishing. Obviously, Paul loves fishing.
I think everybody loves fishing. Somewhere down in their soul, there's a connection to the land when you're fishing that I think people yearn for.
Yep.
was what I think. So, Paul, we're grateful to have you.
Very grateful.
Thank you. I need to address that deal about your weasel, though.
Oh, okay.
It's going to eat those voles. You shouldn't blow the easel,
weasels
out.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I would think so, too.
Okay, well.
That's what they eat.
Yeah. Huh. I still think we want to blow him up.
Maybe use him for bait. I don't know. Could you?
Maybe. Maybe we could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sheesh. It's funny how people will stop when they can hear they can blow up things. It's usually guys, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I agree. Paul, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where are you from? What makes you tick?
Well, I was born in Cache Valley.
Okay.
Okay.
But we moved here when I was 5 years old. My father was a pharmacist here. He started a store.
Wow.
And
where was his store?
Well, it's right here in Afton. And it's the first one was basically a few doors to the left of where the there's a little Baptist church there right now that's using the building.
Right there by under the arch there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, but then we rebuilt a new store to the south of that. That's where that little church is now.
Okay.
Okay, and so I grew up there. I helped paint the fixtures in the store when we built it when I was about 12 years old. And went to the University of Utah, came back, and I've been Star Valley ever since I've been here.
Yeah,
you're from BYU.
I am too, I bleed blue.
Yeah, Deal with it.
Good for you.
My wife is from BYU, so we have fun during the ball games.
Do you remember who won the last BYU-Utah football game? I know it hurts to say it, but you can go ahead and say it.
Yeah, Utah did.
No, BYU did.
They did?
Yes, BYU won the last time we met.
Wow.
I just remember.
And then we had a bye last year. We didn't play last year, and then we played again this year.
It's because you played dirty.
I've forgotten.
Yeah. Utah fans usually do forget, but... It's a good rivalry.
Sometimes I have to let him know my feelings on the U, and I will paint his driveway with U of U. One time I had a giant bra that was painted red. Anyway, Travis was
so embarrassing.
He was pretty mad for about 2 minutes.
So embarrassing.
Yeah, and he never has got me back. It's great. It's because we're the winners. Yep. Whoop.
Paul, you know some of my relatives then. You mentioned Uncle Richard. You know him.
Yes.
And
I think there was was it Jack Osmond
that
lived here?
Yep, Jack, the electrician.
And some of those Osmonds are related to the McKims, and I'm very good friends with the McKims.
Yep. Hmm. I was at the Vanoy reunion last year, and the McKims came.
Yeah, I think Rulin, was that his name?
Yep, Rulin. Yep, mm-hmm. He was married to a Vanoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. So how did you sort of end up here, and like how many children do you have, your wife?
Well, I was going to the University of Utah, in pharmacy, and I even headed into some graduate work, just before I did, I discovered the young lady I was going to marry, Sharon, and anyway, she thought I was going to be a college professor, so I think that's why she married me.
Then
I announced to her just before we got married, I says, where I'd really like to raise a family is in Star Valley.
Wow.
And so I'm going to try this first year of graduate work, but, I'm not sure I'd live in the right place if I followed that career.
Yeah.
And
true.
She followed me back to Afton. We got married just after I graduated from the U.
Nice.
And, for my pharmacy degree, and worked for my dad for a little while. He got cancer when he was only 61 years old. Mm-hmm. So in 10 years from the time when we started working with him, he was gone, and I was running the store along with my brother Alan.
Hmm.
So
how many children do you have?
We've had 6 children. Our first little boy died when he was 10 months old. He had a heart defect that he was born with.
I'm so sorry.
Gosh.
I think they could have fixed that now. But we have we raised 5 beautiful children, and we're grateful for them. One of them's still here, Sherilyn Stauffer, teaches history at the high school.
Yes,
that's great, fun.
And you were a pharmacist.
Yes,
for your career.
Yeah, I served 40 years in the pharmacy here, and amazing. Eventually we started another store down in Thane, Lower Valley Drug, and then when we sold it all to Pomida, which turned into Shopko.
Okay.
Then they built the big store in Afton, and one of our pharmacists, Steve Staley, decided that he wanted to keep a store down thing because they wanted to close that store down there.
Okay.
And so that's what happened to that store, but the store here went to them. But by then I'd retired, and we served a mission from 2009 to 2011.
Where at?
In North Carolina.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun. And when did you know that fishing was just pure joy? About what age? And
Five. When we got here. Maybe before that. Yeah, I remember I caught my first fish down on the Bear River. They called it the Muddy River in Utah. And I think it was a carp, maybe, or something like mm-hmm. that. I don't know. But when we got to Afton, my dad took me fishing. And the first year was quite interesting because back in those days, Star Valley was being fished a lot by Utah fishermen. And Dad said every time he went fishing, he was checked by the game warden until he got the license plates on his car fixed, and then he never was checked again after
no
that.
No kidding.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's interesting.
And that all changed when they built the Flaming Gorge Reservoir down there because all the Utah fishermen left and because that was just a real hot spot to go in. So we didn't see as many then after that. So you've already been out this year.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up on the Salt River and the little creeks around Swift Creek and Crow Creek and all that. I mean, it just, I could ride my bike to anywhere I needed to go or walk even.
And, that's a kid's dream.
Yeah, it was a great place to grow up.
That's really nice.
So MJ already introduced our topic today of fishing here in Star Valley. And I think that having Paul here is going to quantify this, but Paul, tell us about fishing Star Valley as a kid. I mean, you've talked about where you grew up, but what was that like back then with the freedoms that you had and being able to go wherever you want and maybe contrast that to what it is now? What's changed? What's the difference?
Well, back then, just about anybody would let you go fishing on their place, especially if you asked. People didn't care so mm-hmm. much. I think there were probably some places where they did, but it was hard to find a place where I couldn't go fishing.
Wow.
And that of course has changed dramatically. Fortunately, in the 1950s and early 60s, the Wyoming Game and Fish Department bought a bunch of fishing easements from the landowner so that they, in perpetuity people could go fishing on that area.
Mm-hmm.
And the landowners couldn't believe it at that time that somebody would pay them to do something they were letting people do for free. But anyway, it was probably the best investment the Game and Fish has ever made around here
mm-hmm.
because we still have those places where we can go walking and fish along the bank, and there's quite a few of them on Salt River.
Mm-hmm.
But everywhere else where it's private is pretty well. Now you better get a permission from the landowner if you want to go there, or you'll be
shot,
trespassed.
it's a big hefty fine.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
I was just going to say, as far as the fish goes or the fishing, have you noticed that anything's changed or is fishing in 2024 like fishing back in the earlier years, 50s and 60s and 70s?
There's a lot of things that have changed, okay?
Okay.
When we first came here, there were a lot of wild cutthroats like there are today.
Okay.
There were a lot of brown trout. They hadn't built Palisades Reservoir then. And there were, and the records don't show brown trout ever being planted in Salt River, but they were planted in Swift Creek, and there was a pond of them down on Burton's old place that apparently flooded over at some point, and earlier the dam broke and they got in the river. That's how brown trout got, and Salt River's famous for the brown trout.
Yeah, nowadays for sure.
Big time.
But what happened is when they built Palisades, of course, a lot of brown trout got pretty big down there. But the brown trout were blocked from coming clear up the river because there was a dam across the river that the power and light company, Lower Valley Energy now, Lower Valley Power and Light then, had there to feed their canal for their Lower Valley power plant. Wow. Okay, so that kept the brown trout from coming up from Palisades. In 1972, they took that dam out, hoping that the cutthroats and everything would run all the way up. Well, the cutthroats didn't go very far, but the brown trout came all the way to Afton.
Really?
And the fish biologist told us at that time that they'd be probably, they're coming later, spawning over the reds, the nests, you might say, of the Salt River browns, and that eventually you'd have a lake run population of brown trout. So that has finally occurred. It took quite a while, and that may be the reason. I think it is. But nowadays, to catch a really large brown trout in the summertime in Salt River would be rare, whereas back then it wasn't rare at all. We'd go down to Clark's Barn and there'd be 2 and 3 pound browns all over the place.
Whoa.
In the summertime.
Interesting.
So that's changed. The other thing that changed is they started planting a lot of fish in, because people were, the limit was 10 and 12 fish depending on the year. Back in those days, and we kept, I did too, we fished with worms and minnows and and a dry fly when they were rising, but we'd keep the fish, so they were having to stock it, because some of the spawning areas weren't so good.
Interesting.
What's the craziest fish you've caught? Sorry, you can finish that thought.
So what's happened since then is that they've cut down on the limit. Now it's 3.
Yes.
Oh.
And only one cutthroat can be over 12 inches. And they've improved spawning. People have bought up the little spring creeks, we call them sloughs, and improved the spawning there. So now we have better spawning. We have a smaller limit, and people are just naturally are turning fish loose now a lot more.
Ah, oh, that's wonderful.
And so the result of that is we have more and larger wild trout than we had in the 70s in the cutthroats. So that's basically where we're at now with the fish.
Interesting.
What's the strangest fish you've caught anywhere?
Anywhere. Well, you mean the species or the...
Just the
weirdest way I caught one.
Yeah, or eat both. Like the craziest fish you pulled out and you were like, whoa. And then also...
Well, the craziest way I've ever caught a fish was a few years ago. I was fishing with my grandson, Randall. He was rowing the boat at that moment. He was a teenager, and we were up on the Henry's Fork of the Snake River. And I caught a nice rainbow. It was probably about 14 inches long, you know, nothing huge. But
nice.
It might have been 16. It was probably 16 because I thought, well, let's take a picture of it. And so I laid my rod across the bow of the boat, the drift boat, and then he took the picture and he says, "Grandpa, look," he says, "my rod had gone in the river." So we chased it down the river a ways, and because I had the fish off the one fish, you know, in the net already.
Sure.
But we chased it down the river, and the rod would go under a little ways, and it'd come up, float up the top. And anyway, I was able to get the rod, and as soon as I grabbed a hold of it, there was another fish on.
Oh, whoa.
It had actually caught a fish while it was so.
Oh my goodness!
So it was that was a nice Orvis rod that Lee Perkins had given me as a gift for taking him fishing one time.
Nice.
And so I wrote a letter to him. I says, Lee, I says, this is such a good rod that you can just toss it in the river and catch fish on it.
Oh, goodness. That is true. That's fun.
What's the biggest fish you've caught in the Salt River?
I've caught a couple of them that are in the 7 to 8 pound Ooh. Class.
Oh, it's
about 7.5 is
browns?
What they were. Browns, yeah, browns. Yeah. On a fly, that's good. As a bait fisherman wouldn't be, or a Rapala fisherman wouldn't be impressed by that,
because they're catching bigger fish.
You know, I'm sorry, but you can't beat a Rapala.
Yeah.
For a big brown trout.
Right.
Right.
You know, you can. I can keep up with the Rapala fishermen on the 1 to 4 pounders with a good streamer, but for some reason there's something about those Rapalas that those big browns,
they
those trophies,
mm-hmm.
like.
Do you tie your own flies?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is there a certain pattern that that's changed over the years? I mean, when you were a kid, I'm assuming you probably started with worms and minnows. Is that correct?
Yes, that's true.
And then probably progressed towards a fly. Have the fly patterns changed over years that the fish have preferred?
I think it's more of the fishermen that have preferred, whatever.
Yes.
back in those days, when you bought a dry fly, it was like a regular Adams. That would have been a very popular one.
Okay.
And or ginger quill, there were several of them, and now they tie the hackle around the wing instead, and a lot of times where it gives you a parachute effect, a parachute
yes.
Adams.
Yes.
Nobody fishes with a regular Adams much anymore, but they would probably catch fish. But parachute works great.
Interesting.
But some of those old patterns still, the old Renegade pattern, still an excellent pattern on Salt River.
Oh, I love that.
What's your favorite time of year to go fish Salt River?
Probably the when I like to take my grandkids, particularly, is in late June to through July. There's a lot of the larger insects are hatching then, and it's easy for them to catch fish on dry flies then. Yeah, almost any good fly that you get out there on the water, they'll catch them. And I love to take my grandkids fishing. And I've taught all my kids to fish fly fish when they were little, and I found out that you can teach small children to fly fish if you do it right. But you've got to go to a place where they can catch them easier, they'll lose interest.
Yeah.
But you can do that.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. You're going to ask it, probably. So what areas would you suggest for people to go fishing?
Oh, you want my favorite fishing home? That is a secret.
I'm sure it is.
Oh, come on now.
Actually, the truth is I like to fish. Every part of the Salt River is different. You know, in the Upper Valley, we have fine gravel, so you get a lot of mayflies and caddisflies, things like that like fine gravel to hatch in. You get down farther from the Narrows on down, you get larger boulders and rocks on the bottom.
Mm.
And so that's good for stone flies and salmon flies, we call them now. We used to call them trout flies. So every kind of water it has different character, and sometimes I really like to fish the fine gravel, smooth water where they're picky, and sometimes I like to fish the riffly water where they're not so picky, and the scenery's pretty, you know, down further on down, and you get so there's I don't have a place where I just fish all the time, although I'm getting old enough there my wife might start limiting me to Clark's barn where I'm safe. And
yeah, she can't catch you. Oh, my goodness. And you have a dory, and you use that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's a dory? Is that like a drift boat?
That's a drift boat. Drift boats in the shape of a dory.
I see. Yeah.
I told Paul that my dream was to have a wooden drift boat. I mean, they're beautiful. They're a thing of art.
Well, your dentist has one.
Does he?
He does.
I don't like him anymore, though.
Yeah. Yeah, your dentist has it.
He's on the naughty list for keeping me in that chair. Woo!
Well, I've been rowing boats since I was a kid.
Really?
When I was about 14, my good friend Ronnie McKim, who's a classmate of mine, invited me to go fishing with his family one day. And they were one of the first people to do guiding on the Salt River, where they had a flat-bottomed wooden boat.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And they were trying to teach Ronnie how to row that boat and having a rough time of it. But they wouldn't let me try. But I listened very carefully to all the instruction that Ronnie's father and his older brother Jerry was giving, and went home. And my dad had an old Air Force surplus rubber raft that we used. And
how fun!
And so I found out that all those techniques worked on that I could keep the boat out of the willows, put it where I wanted to, and so forth, by following the instructions that the McKims were giving. So ever since I was 14, I've been rowing boats. And some of the time when I was going to college, the University of Utah, when I was home in the summertime and not working at the drugstore, Ted Hale would have me, who owned the Silver Stream Lodge.
In the Narrows.
In the Narrows. He had me guiding fly fishermen, because I knew something about fly fishing. I had started fly fishing when I was 11, but did both, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. What are some basic techniques for those that are wanting to learn to fish better? Is that good English?
Yeah, on the salt.
Fish better?
Well, you know, let me talk about fly fishing, because that's what I eventually became. In fact, it became embarrassing if I were to catch something on bait or on a lure to tell anybody about it, because I thought you were a fly. You know, there's a lot of really great fishermen down there, and the reason I have a reputation is because I talk about it. I don't go near as much as some of these guys do.
You know,
so I don't know that I'm in. And there's better fishermen, there's better fly casters, but I've been here a long time. I guess that's why.
Yeah, that's true.
But okay, so if you're learning to fly fish, it's not that hard. First of all, you need to learn to get the fly out there, and you can look videos and stuff to do that. But once you do that, you know, you can just toss a fly across the stream and let it swing down in the current, just barely under the water, and almost any fly, and it'll, you know, a fish might grab that thing, especially at the end of the swing when the fly comes to the surface. That's an easy way to teach kids.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and a renegade works good for that. It works good on top of the water or under the water.
Mm-hmm.
So you can float it like a dry fly on the top. With a dry fly, you want it not to drag on the surface. And there are techniques for that, and you can teach that a little bit. But you know, just starting out, just throw it and renegade across there, let it swing down, let it swing under the water.
That easy.
I'll bet you catch a fish in the summertime.
Really? I love that.
Later in the fall, you ask one time when my favorite time to fish is, too.
Yeah.
Fall is when this brown trout are running is a favorite time, too, because you can get big, really big fish then. Then I use flies that imitate minnows, or we call them streamers.
Mm.
Are they the rubbery things that might be fluorescent? I don't really know what that is.
They're not rubbery things for streamers. they're usually made out of fur or feathers, things like that.
Big, long, black or olive patterns.
Yeah.
Imitate a minnow, you know, a little fish.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah. Okay.
Like a woolly bugger.
Yep.
That's a streamer.
I like that name, woolly bugger.
And toss those out. swing it down, strip it across, whatever I find to make it move. The important thing with the streamer is to make it move like a wounded fish. That's why a Rapala is good. It puts out all those vibrations, and a streamer won't put out all those vibrations very well. Mm. You know.
Yeah.
What are some of your best days that you've had on the Salt River?
Oh, gosh. One time, my friend Wayne Merritt and I floated during the stonefly hatch in the Narrows. We floated from the Highway 238 bridge. Well, we might have been started a little lower than that, and clear down to Thane. And there was just one of us rowing at the time and one fishing, and we didn't get out of the boat, didn't stop the boat because we had a long ways to go. We figured we caught 60 fish that day.
Wow.
On a dry fly. All on a dry fly.
Oh, my goodness.
But you see, the trouble is that big stonefly hatch that we happened to catch, right? You'll only catch that, we call it salmonfly hatch. You'll only catch that because it comes on about June 10th, and that's usually right when the high water is going.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so, and if you have a low water year, and the river's not muddy right then from runoff, you might catch it.
Wow.
And for years, that hatch actually disappeared about the early 1970s. And it almost disappeared and didn't come back for many years, almost 20 years or so before it started coming back.
My goodness.
And I think it was due to the 71 flood, maybe. Mm. That's my personal opinion.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds right.
Or else somebody dumped a bunch of pesticide in the river, but I don't believe that because the other bugs survive.
Yeah.
But anyway, that came back, and now it'd be interesting to see what happens this year because of the big Swift Creek slide last year that dumped so much. I mean, there's half a mountain down there that ended up in the river.
Yeah. That sure turned that river red, didn't it? I mean, it was just muddy and red and for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it even bothered the irrigators and stuff. Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, if I was living in Star Valley and there was some areas that I could go to and catch a fish and show my grandkids, have them catch a fish, where would you suggest?
Well, if you're going to take grandkids, you know, probably a smaller stream to start out in sometimes. You know, going up, there are places up in Crow Creek that are Forest Service and places like that, or Willow Creek has some public fishing area. Those kind of little streams there are
pretty successful,
and the Little Grays River, places like that, you know, that are not so big that they're problem for little kids falling in, because some of them will.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Oh, yeah. Will.
Yeah.
I took my wife fly fishing for the first time up Little Grays. For her, you know.
Really?
And it was, like Paul was saying, it's small, and you can catch fish. They're not very big, but you can catch fish.
Yeah, you can catch fish. Little kids can. They just get a fly out there some way or another, and they'll catch a fish.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah. I need to give a shout out right now for the Star Valley Trout Unlimited group.
Okay.
They're doing a big deal this Saturday night down there in Alpine at the Civic Center. It's a fly fishing film festival.
Really?
And the purpose of all this is to raise money for the habitat in Star Valley. And
what a great cause.
We have a full-time Trout Unlimited employee here right now, and he's been able to get some grants and things that are, we're talking about million-dollar projects now to help restore of the old meanders and the narrows that were there that the river cut through and left these old meanders that raised little fish and slow the stream down a little bit down there. If we can get water back in those old meanders, that'll help. That'll give a lot more places to fish there too. Mm. And the Clark's Barn area has got so full of silt and stuff that we don't have near the hatches we used to have down there.
That makes sense.
And because all the silt coming down from the slide, but also, you know, things really changed in Star Valley when we went from the flood irrigation to the sprinkler irrigation.
Oh. And why is that, do you think?
Well, because of one other thing we did to the river, we removed a lot of willows in the 1940s and early 50s. The Soil Conservation Service actually paid landowners to help clear their land, but sometimes they got too close to the river, and then the river in 1970, they did a study that was done from an airplane, actually. They had photos from early 1940s of the river at a certain altitude, and they took some more photos in 1970. The river had widened by an average of 10 feet.
Whoa!
And that's due to the erosion because of loss of willows.
Wow.
Okay.
That's a big deal.
That's a big deal.
Huge deal.
And so here we had this situation, but the other thing that helped prevent that from getting even worse was in the spring, the runoff was being taken by the irrigators for flood irrigation. And so the river didn't get too high, and it never got too low in the fall because the groundwater kept it going from the flood irrigation. When they went to sprinkler irrigation, which was pretty well complete by 1970, in 71 we had a huge water year, and that's when the whole valley was like a lake down there. I remember. We just moved back here, you know, the year before, Sharon and I. And so I got involved in that, and but ever since then, why we've had more of a problem with silt and stuff in the river.
On your shout out, what time is that at in Alpine, and where is it going to be?
The doors, it'll be the Civic Center. The doors open at 5:30.
All right.
And the film will show at 7:00. And there'll be food you can buy there. You'll need to buy a ticket to get in. But there'll be food you can buy there. This Cajun place is going to have food. And there'll be a lot of raffle prizes. We have some really good raffle prizes that people want to stuff the box for, because I think one of them is a $1,500 fly rod.
Wow. I think that's date night.
We win that with a $5 raffle ticket.
You know, that'd be nice.
Pretty good.
That is crazy.
I think that's what the raffle tickets are going for. I can't remember.
And what's the film about?
These are little short films that are taken by throughout the world where everybody would like to really go fishing but can't afford it.
Yes.
But, you know, your dream places.
Sure.
There'll be short clips like that. There'll probably be some maybe on fishing for tarpon or bonefish or who knows what. I don't know what the actual ones will be. You'll get a chance to vote on which one you like the best.
Okay.
But there'll also be a raffle down there. Or not a raffle, but a silent auction.
And the money's for?
The money's all, not one cent of it is going outside the valley. It's going all to help the Salt River, you know, restoration.
Well, for sure we need to
Support that.
Support that, yeah. So if our listeners want to go to that, doesn't sound like it's too expensive, fun night with food and a film.
Yeah, a ticket to get in is $15 for adults, $10 for 12 and under, I believe.
That's very great. Very great.
Have you ever thought about writing a book about your fishing stuff?
I actually did.
Oh, you did?
You did?
Oh, yeah. It's called The History of Fishing in Star Valley.
What?
I've sold a bunch of those. You can buy them at Hastings, at Dog-Eared Books, and at Altitude Sports.
All right.
There you have it.
And I talk about the history of fishing clear back to when the Indians were here, as far as we can determine. And the early settlers. It was a fun book to write. I've experienced a lot of that fishing, but it was really fun to go back to the old Independence and other sources and find
that
these old
neat
stories. Yeah,
I'm gonna have to track me down a copy now.
I am too.
Yeah.
Yep. Both of us will be at Ace.
Well, I know one of them will be a raffle prize at the thing. So the
a signed copy.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
It's yeah,
we have to have signed.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, Paul, I can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast today. This has been really entertaining and educational.
Very much. Is there anything else you want to tell us?
Oh, thank you. I think this has been a wonderful privilege. You've given me a chance to say the same stuff I try to always tell everybody. Sometimes I talk too long and they don't want to listen. But
no, this was just perfect. It was really great. And we so appreciate you.
We really do. Thank you for coming on. We wanted to just take a second and thank our sponsors for supporting us. Star Valley Health, thanks for all you do.
Eco Life,
SVI Media, thank you. What a wonderful podcast to start the spring. Everybody, let's get out, enjoy the outdoors.
Let's support them on the 20th. Thank you so much, Paul. It's been a pleasure.
Go and buy Paul's book.
Yes.
The History of Fishing in Star Valley.
At Ace and Heat.
Dog-eared books.
Dog-eared books. And Altitude Sports have some.
Altitude Sports. Awesome. Well, thank you, Paul.
Paul, this has been wonderful.
This is Why Your Story Podcast. I am your host, Travis.
I am your host, Mary Jo.
And together we are
Why Your Story.
Take care, everybody. Be safe.
Love his story.
Bye-bye.